Hi, this is David Aaron Greenberg, and this is my interview with Nora Tofig of The Trops. The Trops is a conceptual alternative to the traditional gallery, an experimental platform for the visual arts. More specifically, The Trops is now an app, which operates as a treasure hunt of sorts and rewards the inquisitive art lover with tokens they can use to buy handmade objects, including actual art. Nora Tofig is the brainchild behind this operation. I recently sat down with her at the Trops office in Brooklyn.
Hi, this is David. I'm with Nora.
Hi, David.
And we're doing a podcast for White Hot Magazine. And it's a lovely May afternoon here in Brooklyn. Nora, can you tell us a little bit about your childhood in New Jersey?
Yes. I grew up in Edison, New Jersey, which is an interesting, like, just geographically, it's also the middle of a lot of transit lines and highways, so a lot of people come there, a lot of people immigrate there. So it was mostly South Asian, East Asian immigrant communities, and that's something that I think New Jersey does in a very specific way, where, like, in New York, you have, like, a few blocks, and that's Chinatown. Right, but in New Jersey, you have like a whole town with a school system, and that's like Little India, or that's like Little Russia. You know, like you have these whole areas dedicated to one immigrant group. So mine just happened to be South Asian, East Asian, and I didn't really realize that wasn't normal until I was a little older. But you know, it was very diverse. People used to come to my school in assemblies, and we were like an elementary school, and people were sitting on the stage about to do some kind of talk about like ethics or whatever, and they would look at us and they'd be like, you guys are so diverse. And they would take a moment and they'd be like, guys, you guys, amazing. And we'd be like, what are you talking about? Because we didn't just have South Asian, East Asian, we had sort of the full range of color plus that, so it was like full world. Anyway, and then when I was older, I started traveling more and seeing different parts of America and realizing that it actually was like much whiter than I had originally understood.
And you went to Rutgers undergraduate, right? And what did you study there?
Molecular biology and biochemistry and French literature. I had two majors. And then I studied abroad at one point.
Where did you study?
I studied in Paris, and I studied political science and economics. And then I went back to Rutgers again after that. So I did that. I was, you know, it's an amazing campus also for anyone interested in, I guess, the pharmaceutical industry in whatever capacity that could be understood. And then I went out of that. I also had a scholarship. So I was kind of rolling in this, you know, the New Jersey, I guess, backing of having gone to Rutgers too. And then I started to tutor. I taught myself how to make websites. I was doing web design. I had a bunch of gigs. I called myself a gig economist. I still kind of do. That was sort of like the idea of this new world of doing just many gigs to get through a day. And I was, you know, around New Jersey. And then at some point, I also went back to Rutgers to do business school, which was kind of intertwined with this project too.
And tell us about the formation of the concept of The Trops, how it started and where it eventually came. I'm good.
I had been living in New Brunswick after I finished my undergraduate, and I was kind of just like chilling. It was nice because I was doing these different gigs. I was like private tutoring, or I was making independent websites for people. And then, you know, I would go to the Jersey Shore for a little part of the day, and then I would go to like the Woodland area for a part of the day, and then in between that I would hang out with some hippies and things. At some point I was with some friends talking about like the end of the world or the apocalypse or where it all goes from now, and this was like years ago, so it didn't really feel as apocalyptic as it feels as we are. But and then, you know, we were like, okay, this is the world ending, and you know, the breakdown based on like globalization meets etc. And then everyone leaves, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, this seems like a big, and I'm just, you know, you kind of start spiraling into like problem solving. I also have Virgo placements, which I think drive me to, you know, the machinery goes into high drive sometimes. And yeah, so I stayed up all night and I worked out this whole kind of like approach to a systematic solution to, in my mind, you know, the whole socioeconomic problems of the universe. But it was basically the idea of, you know, a globalized world, and you have a globalized country that is the leader of world trade. Globalization comes from a sense of an imperialism. It comes from a colonization. It comes from like a history of this macro scaled trade where there has to be imbalance because there has to be a level of rise along the supply chain. So there's this concept of, you know, macroeconomics that the US has only experienced. So in America, you don't really have like local marketplaces the way the old world has those things. And so I'm also Iranian, so I kind of have this bazaar mentality. The idea of a localized economic system as a complement to globalization. So that started this whole like list of things. And then I said, I have to go to business school. I have to go to school again, because as a student, you know, you have time and, you know, easy access loans. And so I went back to school at Rutgers. And then I kind of took all the classes relating to this while I was kind of cooking up the project. I started organizing craft marketplaces. We did pop-ups around New Jersey and New York, and it was like
Asbury?
In Asbury Park, mostly. Yeah. The idea was representing local makers, so people who made things with their hands. Because part of the problem or the situation also was when you have large-scale globalization, you also have like automation and a sense of you have to sort of systematize everything so you can scale it. Otherwise, it doesn't work. So the idea of creative individuality and the idea of like human identity being really tied to things that we can do locally with our hands, with our senses, not remotely, because that's when you actually have a human experience. So that idea kind of, first it was like the hands, right? It was like the people who are doing handmade items, you know, candles and leather goods and crafts, artisans. And so we were kind of representing that, and I was working with people on, you know, how to get their branding together and organizing and understanding, you know, the kind of local systems that we have. And then I also had my own individual clients. I was still doing my gigs. So I was doing digital marketing. I was doing websites, and I started kind of more and more connecting everything into this bigger project. And then it came here.
And the fine art connection, you know, do you differentiate in your mind in terms of how you see craft and fine art, or is it all economically minded, the same kind of thing, we're just dealing with different pricing, price range? Or?
No, they're very different. There is a theme, and the theme is that it's human, but they're totally different. They're different. One's more of, there's a product versus art, the idea of art being perspective, and it's more of like a voice that we're sort of crystallizing. The market is kind of everybody else, right? Like, so I'm from also, like, my background is kind of that Asian old world mentality. And so I'm from Iran. And the idea of, like, the bazaar, like, those cities were all built because at some point there was, like, a trading post. And then a couple guys were like, here, I'll give you this. And you give, you know, there was this barter. And then the city grew around that. So in these marketplaces, you have, like, exchanges, right? Like, in the souk, in the whatever the term would be locally. So before there was large-scale transportation, before there was large-scale trade, there had to be local neighborhood economics, communities. And so communities interacting with each other, with commerce at the center, means that they're working with their hands and they're exchanging what they're capable of doing, and that builds relationships and networks.
Is art outside of that construct for you in a way, or is it still?
The way that art is seen now, I think, is changed from like the world where crafts made like mattered, uh-huh. Right? Like there's like a total, now it's almost like when you're buying something made by a person, it's not like it's better, faster, cheaper, right? It's right. Like none of the above. Right. It's like way more expensive. You're like, okay, like a vegan hand poured the candle, right? So that also means we've been sustainable somehow, right? We've all kind of paid for this whole system to work, right? So you think about like you get what you pay for also, right? Like what we create economically. Economics is the science of resource allocation. So what we define as our resources and how we value them based on this currency that we're using, that's how we decide our values in the world, right? Like how much we're gonna pay for it. And sometimes there's like the way more better option in every way, but it's slightly cheaper to do it the wrong way. And you're like, well, I mean, I'm not gonna be the one to fix all of, you know, and then right. Everyone makes that choice one-on-one and then the whole thing. But anyway, so the idea of art, though, I think more and more I was also starting to work with individuals. So my biggest, when I was doing digital marketing, when I was consulting, it was always really the idea of like supporting like individualists. And I think that's the big thing they have in common. Individualists do handmade items in a world that doesn't really require handmade, right? And that an artisanship, they remember craft, so they learn high level techniques to do things like individually. The artists, the way we kind of learn science is how I sort of think about artists is the idea, and it's like a when they show, when people do like science degrees, they say like there's like this giant circle, and the circle is all of human knowledge that's ever been had, like all the stuff that we know and we remember, this is all human knowledge. And then if you go and get like a PhD or you dedicate yourself to science, what you're doing is you're saying, I'm going to take that huge circle and I'm going to like take a little nub and push it out a little bit in a new direction, right? Or add to this circle somehow. Not like, I can operate within the circle, but I'm going to push it out. And so that to some level is my like analogy for like what I think art, to my understanding, is this representation of, there's this huge, there's all of human expression that we have in our society. That is how we've represented every stage of our lives and our ancestry and our roots and our decisions. And if you are an artist at the front of time, tradition of art, then it's your job to dedicate yourself to in some way.
What do you mean by front in front of time?
Like you're like the most recent at the tradition. You're at the front of your ancestors. You're at the front of the tradition, right? You're moving in the forward direction, and all of history is behind us. Every single one of us.
Every artist, I've always felt, especially a painter, because it's this view. This perspective that you're facing when you're facing a blank canvas. But I always felt that every painter, if they were really, really thought about it, they have all of that behind them. They have all of the history of painting behind them.
Yeah.
So it's like it propels them, okay, now what are you going to do? Are you going to reach back to grab something? Or are you just going to have all that knowledge and move forward? And I mean, that's really the conception, the idea of the avant-garde was supposed to be that. It was supposed to be like, let's not redo things. Let's gather up everything and go forward.
Right. Well, that's the idea. The avant-garde is the vanguard. But that's what you're saying, too, is really, like, the beautiful thing about having a tradition or having ancestry in some way is that you can reach back and you can pull things. And you should, you know, like, you should take what's been learned by our, like, prior, you know, generations and move forward with it. But forward is a totally unknown value. So that's the idea. Like, you don't really know at the time who's really, you know, you do if you're there and you're really looking.
Right.
But that's where, like, art history is determined with, like, a lag on reality. It's not, like, made in the moment. You don't know what hits the books.
So when you decided to actually take the idea and eventually it, the idea of a new kind of system, self-contained system? Is this a...
The ecosystem.
Yeah. Your self-contained ecosystem. I'd like you to explain how you went from that to actually starting some shows, some pop-up shows, fashion shows, other events that you did in the last few years.
Yeah, well, I think the idea of kind of what we were saying before too, the idea of like the craft versus art, like an ecosystem is really a community. And what we're trying to kind of imagine, all of us in our own ways, is like, how can we make these communities now that we know what we've known, now that not just, like, we are also in the front of history as society, right? Like, we've seen what has worked, we've seen what has not worked. And like, what's next could be a whole new thing, or it could be more this, or a little more that, you know, like we can pull it in whatever direction we decide. But the idea of something sustainable and something balanced and something that is a human spirit based economy, right? Like, money is an abstraction of human activity in some way, right? Like, we've abstracted people actively doing or thinking or providing work, and we've abstracted that, and then that became a part of money, and then we've abstracted like commodities, and that became a part of money, right? So we've kind of like created this number. But after a certain point, the way that we incentivize each other to go for like better, faster, cheaper, to like create a production level to match like the borrowing against the future of the money that we put into, there's this whole system of sort of like economic debt that we feel as a generation. So even though we're in the front of like all of these ancestors and the history of society, they seem to have continuously just like thrown debt back. You're like looking for like, hey, advice, wisdom, you know, and they're like, here, take some debt. And so that sort of society, it's not that it's like there are times of history where society was way worse, like was really just lifestyle wise, like day to day was just more difficult. But like, what does that mean? At a certain point, being easier and easier gets more to be a burden than it comes to be like a benefit to like the human mind, right? And the human spirit. So that's sort of this idea, like, how do we nurture the human spirit? How do we have communities where we can participate in things that matter to us culturally? Because that's how we get in touch with our souls, and that's how we feel more like fulfilled in the human experiences that we're having. So the idea, and you see more, at first we were like, wow, such shiny new algorithms, I love Instagram. And then we're like, I have to get off this thing. Like, it's like, this is really driving me crazy. So now it's like people want to get back involved in Mother Earth, and they want to get involved in the world. And people talk about how like environmentalism and like how we're losing track of, you know, our temperatures and our oceans and things. And when you look at it, like, this is our, if you're spending less time in the physical world, you're way less in touch with what's going on, and you're way less invested in the outcome of it. Like, people don't leave their house like they used to leave their house. So the idea of what we're doing and the idea of this ecosystem is, if this group of people and these people who are locally minded.
Can you explain what you mean by a group of people? Be specific about who you gathered or who you're trying to gather with.
So what I kind of was thinking, and this is something that actually it comes from, right after I started this project, I went to Iran, actually, in 2016, I want to say, and it was right when the sanctions were being lifted. So I had my moment with, okay, how can I save the world in the you know, sunrise times. And then I went to Iran in right when the sanctions were lifted. The JCPOA had just passed, and Iran, who had been sanctioned from international trade for like decades and was really like choked, they could get no imports, you know, they had to like secretly sell their oils. And the idea that everyone was so optimistic in the country. So the first thing is that because of those sanctions, Iran had hit something called import substitute industrialization, where instead of having imports, they were starting to develop internal industries. And I just thought certain things were very impressive, such as that they built their own metro, right? Like, they had, using natural local stones, local engineers, they had self-determined to build this infrastructure system. And that's usually what foreign direct investment does. That's how they kind of put countries in debt. That's how they kind of cripple industries, is that they come and they build your train station for you. And now you're paying them back for the train station for the next 20 years, you know? So there's this concept of almost unintended independence from that large scale credit trap that everyone's in right now, every single one of us. And we like don't know how to get out of it. So everyone's just kind of messing around with the same formula. So that being said, the reason why they were able to not only sustain having the sanctions, but also do things like that, is because at the center of every community, there's a marketplace. And people go and they exchange things directly. They participate. And most things are happening in cash. And people are dealing with local goods. They're going back to like old ways, right? They're like regressed economically, but it actually stabilized it. So when you're talking about America, we have cities and we have a history where we've never actually been non-international. Like, we were as a colony on this like triangular trade system, right? Like, the labor always came from somewhere else. Like, the idea of, there was never a sustainable system here. And so to think about what a sustainable system means is that, first of all, it's localized economics, where communities are interacting with each other, and that forces people to consider each other and to think better of each other and act in the interest of their community when they're exchanging their resources with each other regularly. And that creates economy. It's much value when the coconuts are moving, right? When the things are moving around, that's human activity. That creates value, that creates money, that's economy. So the idea of, if people who are acting as human beings in the old world, the requirements of such a thing are really just products, services, you know, foods, you have like a marketplace, you have art, you have culture, you have the human soul being fed in a different way, and you have, you know, activities. you have to have a reason to go outside. So it's a game, right?
So let's get specifics of the actual app itself.
Mm-hmm.
And what are some of the features of it, and in the general userability of it?
Use case.
What's it called?
I think it's called, well, they have so many names now, and then I think they rebranded all of those names now again. So, but I think it's use case.
Use case?
Like use case?
Use case.
That sounds almost like a social work thing. Yeah.
Well, how somebody, when the app is launched later next month.
Yeah. Right? So this summer.
This summer.
June, mid-June. I'm trying to go for the solstice, maybe. So, like, third, fourth week of June.
But what is somebody... First of all, is the app free?
Yes.
Okay, so it's a free app. And then when you download this app, what should someone expect?
So, we call ourselves the Trops. So, the idea of the Trops is it means art drops. So, we do drops of art. We are, you know, you fertilize communities to exchange and bump into each other and have experiences. So we call them art experiences because we like to melange like cross-genre communities and artists. We have ways of presenting art, and we've done some as pop-ups, which are the traditional white box format, where you have a building or a room and you make it white, you put all the art on the wall and people come and see it, and then, you know, close up. So this is the idea of having kind of like a deconstructed exhibition where there's art in different locations around the community, around the neighborhood. So you would have this mapped exhibition, and they don't have to be traditional art presenting places. They could be cafes and stores and bodegas, and the idea of it being where real people gather and where real people actually exist. You know, if you're at the laundromat and there's art, you've just connected to very different worlds, but also the same world, right? Humanity in front of its experience. So, but that's the philosophical side. On the game side, and the idea of how it works is that you have these different stakeholders, you have these venues, you have these artists, and you have the vendors. So what you can do is you can go around a community and experience art. If you have an art hanging, for example, in a bar, if you're not there in person, you see where it is. If you show up in person to the venue, you will get a token.
How is that? You have to take a selfie with the
art? No, you just have to open the app and go to... Yeah,
be
so
in the physical
you just
place.
Have to be in the physical place. So the main thing is, and the way it works, is that it really rewards you and encourages you to come out and see the art in person.
That's
and
right.
There's something that... Actually, I think it was John Newsom who said this, that like a painting doesn't exist unless you see it in person.
That's true.
Right? And if you're not looking at physical paint, and if you're not actually experiencing the art in person, like most art is being passed around by email now. You know, it's just like digital, visual.
You're experiencing the image of the art.
You're seeing pixels, you're seeing light, and it goes straight to storage, right? And then you don't even see it after that. So the idea of experiencing art and art being in the real world is really what we are trying to make infrastructure for.
Now, how would... can you explain just briefly how each... There's a vendor, there's a... How would the artist fit in? How would the consumer of art fit in? How would... an artisan fit in to the structure of the Trops app?
So once you arrive at a location and you get your token, so you get these tokens for every art piece and then you're building your collection. It has the memory information of the art, so it's this art memory also. It's like a black book. And so you have this and you're collecting the tokens and you can actually exchange those for local goods and services. So you can get handmade artisanal products. You can get a coffee or a beer. And you can also, if you appreciate an artist, you can send those tokens and send a beer to the artist. And it doesn't only work for visual artists, it's also about performing arts. Because it's not just about space, it's also about time. So the idea of you could have a musician at a cafe or on a street or at a park, and if they're performing from 4 to 6 p.m., then only during 4 to 6 p.m. can you show up and get your token and get your... and collect the artwork. And so it's like this treasure hunt, and it really, you have to be there. That's the idea.
Now, can you register as an artist? Or, I mean,
we don't do, so the
how
thing
is exactly
it's curated.
Like, okay.
That's the other thing, though.
Okay.
So it's a curated art experience at this point. That's what we've kind of also been keeping as part of what we've done in our shows is we do try to add a level of filter, right? It's not a social media platform. And like when you're saying, like, you know, it's not about taking a selfie, right? It's for you. It's a navigation tool. It's really about localizing resources. It's about a cultural currency that we can create for ourselves, right? So it's a game. It's a treasure hunt. You go to different places and you find art. And part of the, you know, the great thing is that on your way there, you're having experiences too. You know, you're participating in the world in your own way.
Do you feel, I mean, it might be grandiose to think this, but that instead of creating the Trops as a gallery, traditional gallery, that it's almost an untraditional art, self-contained mini market for art? Or is this more, you're opening a kind of PS1 digitally, something, or, you know, something that's an art space, like a Dia or something like that, where it's not a museum, it's not a gallery, but it's like a performance space slash, you know, in within the confines of this, what you say, game.
So the game and the treasure hunt is, it's kind of like a way to get souvenirs out of your experiences. It's a way to navigate and organize how you can find real cultural places and cultural experiences. How we see ourselves, I think part of what kind of is important about a community in general and what we're doing, I think what I always say is called, like, this is like this bohemian network, right? Okay. So when I say like it's curated, I think what it's really about is that there's this sense of like, what is the frequency of the voices and the people and the art that we are presenting, right? That's what the Trops presents, right? And we're presenting this as sort of part of our own ecosystem,
right,
of ways to experience art and ways to get in front of art and physically be there. So organizing both sides of that, but I think of it as like a bohemian thing. So that group of people, the way that I've kind of come to understand them, and there's one in every city and there's a few in most cities, the idea of this sort of bohemian spirit,
right,
where art is being created for art and there's a humanity that we all have to protect by really just staying away from the macroeconomic thing, right? Just staying away from the concept of this, you know, metric system for our human values, right? Because that makes art real. So the idea of having this kind of, I don't say anti-metaverse, because I know that's like a dangerous place to even say on either side, but the idea of it being like very pro the physical world, right? Mm-hmm. The thing with gravity and the thing with us, right? The thing where our bodies are involved and our eyes are there and we have to arrange to make it somewhere in time and we have to do daily things, you know? So it's kind of like our sites are more like, it's kind of like a combination of like a bohemian stage temple co-op community movement or something.
Bohemian, I don't know. Stage temple co-op.
It's some kind of thing. I think it's an art movement. I'm saying it's the platform. Yeah, right? That's a perfect, you know, CD cover. If they make CDs anymore, we got to find a CD player. But anyway, the idea of it, I can't really put a name to it. I think what I like about the Trops and why, even just it being called what it is, and it could mean art drops, it could mean tropics, it could mean it's too much, you know? Like, the idea of it being like a reflection and a navigation tool for us to like find art and to find each other and to have our community just like fertilized by the, you know, the culture that's already here.
And the nuts and bolts of this initially are going to be, I mean, do you have like a set group of artists and curators in mind, or fellow bohemians, or is it kind of like, is it just evolving as it goes along?
It's
like there's no board of directors, there's no like advisory board or anything like that?
No, actually, funny, right now, no, there's nothing. It's really just this kind of, but that's the idea. It's like this kind of, that's kind of the co-op-y side of it. The idea of there being this kind of almost decentralized community of Bohemians. That's something that kind of exists. We've just kind of tried to keep our curation and the curators that we work with, just are they on that Bohemian frequency? I think that's the main metric for them, to be honest.
So but it's all about the Bohemian frequency.
I think that for art protects art from becoming like that like commercial version of itself, and that is kind of like the last piece of our humanity that hasn't been fully automated, right? There isn't, I mean, the AIs are here, obviously. They're doing it, right? But like, what's human about them, right? Like they're, it's like they're doing, they're watching and then they're observing and they're mimicking. It's not original. And maybe it will be one day, but I feel like humanity has to take a good look at itself.